Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 168 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And I'm really excited to bring you this interview with someone who I've wanted to talk to for a long time, and you might know him if you follow barbecue at all as Hiratoshi, which is a Japanese name. That's not his real name. His real name is Tom Nguyen. He's Vietnamese, not Japanese. At the beginning of the interview, we get into that and why he has that. And it's an interesting story. I don't want to tell you. It's just cool to find out. I've always wondered, that's the whole point of this interview. And the reason why I do these interviews in general is because I want to share the barbecue world and the barbecue family to people outside of it, but also within it. So if you're into barbecue at all or just getting into barbecue, I'll put his information down below, his Instagram. You need to follow. He goes to so many barbecue joints. He's based in Houston, but he goes to places all over. He is a barbecue fanatic. He is a huge fan, super knowledgeable about places. He works right by Corkscrew and Tejas, so we have some tips and tricks and secrets for those two places, as well as a bunch of other places. He even has a secret for Franklin Barbecue. But overall, this interview is just a pleasure. He's a fantastic human. You could tell his excitement and exuberance and love of barbecue, and he travels every weekend with his daughter. He's been doing that for 8 or 9 years for barbecue, which is just phenomenal and such a cool thing, and a cool thing to share. And his daughter's really into photography, so I don't want to get too much into it because there's a lot that this covers. So again, I thank Tom for taking the time. I do know you're gonna enjoy this. Thank you. And if you're digging these, please subscribe, that way you don't miss out any of the episodes. I put out about 2 or 3 of these per week. If you're just listening to this on the podcast, check out the YouTube channel at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. That way you can see the people that I'm talking to, as well as tours of barbecue joints, butcher shops, meat-related places, lots of cool stuff. I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com with links to all the podcast stuff, every single podcast, every single YouTube interview, every single YouTube thing that I do, as well as a list every week of all the barbecue pop-ups in and around Los Angeles, and a list every week of all the barbecue and underground places in Texas. And that's going to expand too. So all that cool stuff on the website, social media, Kevin's BBQ Joints. Also make sure that you do follow me, because there is a massive barbecue giveaway with amazing items from 86 plus barbecue joints, barbecue personalities, crazy amount of stuff. It's coming out mid-December. You'll definitely want to check that out. But in the end, thanks so much for listening. I super appreciate it. Love all the feedback. Love doing this. Have a great week. Are you... because your name is on Instagram is a Japanese name.
That is correct. It's a Japanese name, but actually I'm not Japanese.
So. Are you Vietnamese? Is that?
I am Vietnamese indeed. Well, sometimes I get mistaken for being Japanese or Pakistani. A lot of people can't figure it out. And then finally when I tell them that, oh, I'm Vietnamese, and they're like, nah, you can't be, you know.
So then how did, I'm going to put this in there. So then why is your Instagram name a Japanese name?
So that's a long story. So back, you know, on Facebook, you know, I did put down my real name, but for a while, I had a lot of, friend requests from patients. And so, unfortunately, because of HIPAA regulations and things like that, and yeah, obviously Facebook's not secure, I couldn't accept these friend requests. And but of course, that also puts extra liability on me. So basically, I redid the accounts on social media and just basically chose a Japanese name.
That's awesome.
I'm Japanese, so I thought, well, I'll just go ahead and roll with it.
That's hilarious. So then what name do you go? If someone came into your office to say hi to you, what would you go? Or your friend, what would they say?
My friends would call me Tom. Tom, right? I guess my patients would call me Dr. Nguyen. But oddly enough, because I've stuck with my moniker for so long, a lot of times when I am out and about with my friends, they'll call my name, Tom. And, you know, I pay no attention. And all of a sudden they call me by my Facebook or Instagram name, Hiratoshi. I'm like, oh. And I turn around, they're like, really? You're responding with your fake name and not with your real name.
That's hilarious. Right? That's so funny. That's awesome. That's kind of cool. Like, you could create a character, you could actually create like an animated character someday or a logo. Like, it's it's pretty awesome.
Really, I guess I could. Everyone's doing their own bumper stickers. I might as well make one of my own too.
You should,
right?
Yeah. It does seem like the thing, like to have the picture of the person putting a sticker on the something and then share. Yeah, that's actually, I don't have a sticker yet either, so we need to jump up our game on that.
We should. I'm sticker bombing my Yeti cooler right now, like everyone else. So hey, let me know when you have your sticker out.
I will send you stickers. And what's funny too is, like, as soon as you announce that, you probably had to spend like $80 to $100 on postage to send that all. But that's fine. Whatever. But anyway, so then So let's jump back again. So Tom, I'll call you Tom. That'll be easy. Then I'll call you Hiratoshi. Did you grow up in Houston?
I grew up most of my life here in Houston. I've been down here since '83, after Hurricane Alicia, and yeah, pretty much spent most of my life here, as well as my education. So I grew up primarily in Texas.
And you're a physician at McGovern, is it McGovern?
So I went to the medical school I went to is called UT Houston Medical School, later renamed to McGovern Medical School, but
Okay.
that's one of the two medical schools that are in Houston.
Okay.
And so I'm a family physician, and basically I did my residency training here as well, and opened my clinic here. Pretty much I've stayed local for the most part.
And then how did you find, when did you find your bug for barbecue? Like, were you always, as soon as in 83, were you eating barbecue? And what places were you going to back then?
Oh, no. If anything, I used to hate barbecue. I thought brisket was the worst thing ever. But
Oh
the
no.
problem is I never had good brisket, so I never knew.
Okay.
But my introduction to barbecue probably dates back as far as 1993. So I went to college at Trinity University in San Antonio.
Okay.
And one of my roommates, he's from Temple, Texas. And so he was always raving about a local barbecue joint there called Clem McKeska's.
Oh.
Yeah, which, and obviously with the McKeska family, really well known, they have, multiple restaurants throughout Texas. And so that was my initial introduction to Texas barbecue. My grandfather back in the day, he was a real foodie, and so he would always like to try different barbecue restaurants. So here in Houston, we would try out Luther's and
Oh, nice.
barbecue. I mean, there weren't really much options back then, but for what it was, we thought it was pretty good. And I remember back in '94, one of my roommates, he went on a barbecue run, and I asked him, "Well, what's that?" And he said, "We're just gonna drive around and eat barbecue." And I thought, "Well, that's just the stupidest thing ever. That's such a waste of time just to go to restaurants." And he would tell me that they would go to multiple restaurants and eat barbecue. I don't remember exactly where they went, but if I had to make a guess, it's probably the restaurants in Lockhart.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
They probably did the old Smitty's. I guess there wasn't Kreitz Market back, so it was just probably Smitty's, Chisholm,
Black.
and Black's.
Yeah.
So fast forward, basically, yeah, I would eat barbecue once in a while, primarily sausages. I was all about the sauces. And really, it wasn't until 2009, 2010, I ate at Rudy's Barbecue.
Okay.
And when I had the barbecue there, I thought, "Oh, this is magnificent! It's brilliant! I actually had good brisket." And then when I told my friends, they told me, "Oh, you poor thing! You don't know anything about barbecue, do you?" So they told me, "Hey, go look up Lockhart." And I was like, "Lockhart, okay." And so, finally, when I looked it up, I went to Kreitz Market. And that's basically when the whole revelation started about, wow, Texas barbecue. This is actually pretty good, especially the brisket.
And even living in Texas, was the whole concept of how you order and eat that type of barbecue, was that different and foreign to you? And was that exciting that it was so different? Because I don't, I it's I know that for me, the first time when I went to Kreitz and Smitty's, I was like, this is, because coming from Los Angeles, it's
Yeah.
bizarre.
Oh, absolutely. I remember going to Kreitz, and you had to stand in line, and once you enter into the giant area where you order the meats, I mean, it was just magnificent. You would see the pits, and there were the cutting blocks, and
Big hunks of meat coming out.
yeah, I mean, it was just an otherworldly experience. It's not like anything that you would ever see in any other restaurant. And so at that point, I finally said, I finally got it. And I would say probably the second spot I ate after that would be Snow's Barbecue.
Wow.
And this is back in 2010. So I guess 2 years after they first got onto Texas Monthly on the 2008 list.
Yeah.
Oh, my. I mean, again, foreign concept. Eating barbecue for breakfast? I mean, that just sounds utterly insane. How could you eat something so heavy for
So heavy,
breakfast?
yes.
But it's so delightful. I mean, gosh, that day we had a bit of the pork steak, brisket, the sausage. I mean, it was just bonkers.
Did you
And then
go with family or with friend with these the same friends that had introduced like wanted you to go before or did...
no, I just kind of went by myself and just decided to
That's
check it out.
great.
I mean, talking to my friends, they just thought I was insane as well. It's like, why would
And
you drive so far away just to eat?
you were living in Houston, right, at the time?
Yes, I was in Houston at the time.
How long of a drive for people that don't know, how long of a drive would that be from Houston?
So to go to Lockhart and to Snow's Barbecue from Houston, you're looking at about a 2 hour drive,
Okay.
roughly.
And what time did you get to Snow's that day?
Oh, well, this was before, well, I guess after the 2008 list came out, you know, they kind of died down a little bit. So, you know, I got there probably around 9:30, 10 o'clock, and, you know, there wasn't much of a line. I mean, sure, you had a lot of people eating there, but it wasn't crazy like it is now. So, yeah.
Did you see Tootsie, and was that a big deal back then?
Ah, yeah. So we met Miss Tootsie, and it wasn't a big deal back then, but, you know, she was... I mean, you know, she's very charismatic, of course. Yeah, I just talked to her, and, you know, I did go with a group of people at that time, and, I mean, as we were leaving, she stepped out and just sort of blew kisses at us. I mean, it was the cutest thing.
So about this time, then, it was starting to get in your blood, right?
It was, yeah. And so that's when I started to look for information about barbecue. So I started looking at the Texas Monthly list. At that time, the 2008 list, I started watching the show on PBS called The Day Tripper with Chet Garner. Yeah. And so he would basically go to all these places. And for the most part, all the places that he would eat at are barbecue restaurants. And so
that's amazing, though. I didn't think that Chet, I didn't realize how long Chet had been doing this.
Oh, yeah. He's been doing this forever. He also does like barbecue tours and things like that as well. So, good guy.
When did the momentum, did you end up at any time wanted to do a blog or... Instagram didn't exist back then.
It did not. No, I didn't do any blogs. Basically, I just did posts on Facebook, and I would just show off, hey, look what I ate, and, you know, and basically it's just something I've been continuing on for the last many years. As far as blogs go, I did try to start up a blog a while back, maybe about 4 or 5 years ago. I think I forgot what it was called. It's like Brisket Bastard or something stupid. I guess at the time, I thought, well, maybe I'll just eat at all these places. I'll try to rate it, you know. But, you know, as I eat at more and more places, I realize it's hard and hard to really just accurately rate it just because, you know, taste is so subjective.
I agree.
And after a while, I just kind of gave up and thought, well, you know what? I'm just going to just go to these places, enjoy the food, take pictures, you know, post it up on Facebook and then later Instagram and whatever, you know. And so, yeah, I don't really have any other plans at the moment to set anything further than that, but yeah. We'll see how it goes.
But it's Instagram is obviously how you got onto at least my radar and a lot of people's radar. You tend to either go to places that are just opening or
I'm driving all over the place and just racking up the mileage. Like we recently sold our Mini Cooper. I've had it for only 3 years, and I racked up about 150,000 miles on it. 3 short years.
So what are your office hours, and how often do you get a chance to travel to barbecue spots? Every weekend? Is that kind of what you do? Or?
Pretty much. My daughter and I, we basically go get barbecue every weekend for the last, I guess, 8 or 9 years now. So there's a rarely do we miss a weekend. In a week, it's harder for me to go out. Up where my clinic is at, I'm basically in Northwest Houston, and I'm sandwiched between Tejas Chocolate and Corkscrew Barbecue. They're literally 10 minutes away from where I work.
That's not terrible. So that's why you're there, those places a lot. I noticed that there's a lot of photos from those places.
Yeah, just primarily because of vicinity, but yeah.
Oh, that's perfect. And do you remember both those places opening?
So Corkscrew, I went back to either late 2011, early 2012. At the time, they were a little small trailer up in the Woodlands, another suburb up in northern suburb up in Houston. Yeah, those days were great. I mean, there was always long lines. I mean, there's still long lines now, but yeah, back then, you know, it was hard to find good barbecue in Houston in general. And at that time, Corkscrew was considered good enough, and there weren't too many others around. Maybe some of the pop-ups from Killens and maybe Gatlin's, and that's really about it. At that time, you still had to basically travel to eat. And then as far as Tejas. So they opened up around 2016, I believe. Mm-hmm. There used to be a coffee shop up in Tomball that I would go to all the time, just for coffee breaks. And I saw the build out at the time for Tejas, and I thought, oh, chocolate, beer, barbecue. I thought, oh, that would never work. How wrong I was.
Yeah, little did you know.
Yep.
So what are some tips then for Corks? Because Corkscrew and Tejas are two places that a lot of people want to go, and they don't, and not everyone gets a chance to go. Are there any tips for visiting Corkscrew and then for Tejas?
Yeah. So for Corkscrew, and I always give these tips out for people who get there early as well, because a lot of times people don't know, but they have a binder system. So if you get there early, say around 9 or 10 o'clock, so this is about 1 or 2 hours before they open, There's a binder with numbers. You need to go to the binder, grab a number, because at 11 o'clock when people line up, if you don't have that number, well, you're number 26 instead of number 3 or number 2 when you get there early.
And the binder is where?
It's on the side, by the side door. It's not right at the front necessarily, so it's a little hard to find, but there's a little table where there's free water, free tea, and that's usually where the binder is. Okay. And as far as Tejas, on the weekends when it gets busy, they do have a golden ticket system. So that you can get there early, you can grab a ticket. Some people get there at 5, 6 in the morning, yank a ticket and go get some coffee or go back home and sleep before they line up at 11. Can't do that at Corkscrew. So you get there at Corkscrew, you got to stay there.
Wait, so then let's go back to Corkscrew then. So you get a number, then do you have to then get directly into line with that number?
Yeah, people start lining up at around 10:50 typically. But otherwise, you just basically hang out on the premises. I mean, they got a nice little patio, like a covered patio in the back. And just basically hang out and just wait until the door opens. There's always plenty of people there, and most people are friendly, so...
Yeah, of course.
Strike up a conversation with a stranger and just talk barbecue.
So. That is barbecue, and that's what all barbecue really is. That's what the essence of barbecue. I was going to say, like, what do you get there? But it seems like you get everything, right?
Yeah, I pretty much do. Guilty as charged. I would say if you go there on the weekends, you definitely need to try the beef rib and the chicken, and those are Saturday-only specials.
Okay.
But they're probably one of the best beef ribs, and certainly the best chicken I've had in the state of Texas.
Oh, wow.
One of the unique things I like about the beef rib is there's a membrane on the underbelly of the rib. A lot of times when you strip that off, it's a little chewy.
Mm-hmm.
Or Corkscrew, most of the time it's very crisp, so you can peel it off and just bite off of it. It's almost like beef jerky. Oh. Crispy beef jerky, I guess. Almost like, it's like a cross between beef jerky and potato chips. I mean, I can't describe it any more than that, but it's and obviously the beef rib itself, it's tender, it's smoky, it's fantastic.
That's an awesome tip. I've never heard anybody talk about that little membrane ever before, and
we'll just discard it. But oh no, if you can strip it and it's a little crispy, oh, have at it. It's
that's gonna be the new treat. Okay, that's awesome. That's right there. That's made this so worthwhile. And then at Tejas, what do you usually get? Because Tejas also has a lot of specials and they change things. And
oh yeah, yeah. It's ironic. I'd much rather go to Corkscrew on the weekends, but during the weekdays, I usually make a beeline towards Tejas.
Okay.
Because of all the specials that they have. So, gosh, on Thursdays, you got all their pastrami specials, their pastrami beef rib, the pastrami brisket, the Reuben sandwiches. It's fantastic. So, briny, it's smoky, it's just everything that you want in a pastrami sandwich, really.
So that's only Thursday. I always wondered what day of the week it was for Tejas, so that's Thursday.
They got a lot of different things. Wednesdays, they had their smokehouse burger, but they're about to open up a new burger joint.
Yeah, it's all...
right by there. Yeah, the burger's crazy. It's one of the best burgers I've ever had, so.
Eventually, it's not going to be Tomball anymore. It'll be Tejas or something. They'll call it, like, Tejas, formerly known as Tomball, Texas.
They pretty much rule the roost there, but yeah, they're very inventive as far as with their foods. I mean, you know, they have their little chocolate lab in the back, but I always joke to them that they're the mad scientist of barbecue because they're always stuffing just about anything and everything into a sausage.
Mm-hmm.
And their chili relleno sausage, I mean, easily is the best sausage in all of Texas.
That's amazing. It is.
I'm saying this with a bias towards Houston joints, but I mean, having been everywhere, it's hard for me to find anything that tops that.
What's one place? Because you live in Houston, what's the furthest you will drive for barbecue that you will want to do again and again? Like, is it Evie Mays? Is it like, is there a place what is the furthest place that you would drive on a consistent basis?
Well, I mean, I'll drive anywhere for barbecue, really. Yeah. But as far as a consistent basis, I might drive up to 3 to 4 hours. Like, one of my favorite spots is Bodacious Barbecue in Moberly,
mm-hmm.
up in Longview. That's about a 3-hour drive for me, but I make trips up there quite frequently just to bring home barbecue.
And what do you get there?
Oh, my. So they always do a lot of specials. So anytime they do any of their boudin or sausage specials, you'll need to try that out. And but otherwise, their ribs are really good. Their house-made sausage, excellent. Brisket's always on top. They're basically ranked number 4 in Texas Monthly, barring a reason, you know.
Do you get their burn-ins? Have you ever had their burn-ins?
Their burnt ends are delicious. Oh, and probably one of the best deals, I think, at Bodacious is the, what do we call it? The Sloppy Joe's sandwich. Mm. It's only, what, $1.85? But, I mean, that's the best bargain in all of Texas as far as barbecue goes, because they're using bits of their pulled pork.
You know what's funny is I still think that even though they're top, like you said, number four, I feel like there a lot of people don't go to Bodacious, and maybe it's because of the location then.
Part of it's location. I think a lot of people don't know. And the other thing is, too, is there's a lot of confusion as well, because Bodacious is a chain.
Yeah, that's true.
And I remember when the top 50 list first came out. People kept saying, well, I don't understand why Bodacious is so good. It's terrible. I'm like, well, which one did you go to? And they went to the wrong one. So you got to go to Marbley. I remember first going there after the list came out, and there were never any lines. I would just literally walk up to the counter. it's utterly insane. Versus if you go to Cadillac or Corkscrew or Franklin, there's always massive long lines.
Oh, without a doubt. What other places in Houston you recommend?
Gosh, there's so many.
I know, it's like this day, it's like it is the golden age of barbecue. It really is.
It's literally everywhere. Every corner you turn, there's some good place, you know. Whereas in 2012, it's like, okay, yeah, I could settle for Gatlin's or Corkscrew, but I'd have to travel all the way back out to Lockhart or Snow's to get good barbecue back then.
That's true.
Usually what I do these days, I try to look out for pop-ups, but that might be a little harder to find for the average Joe. But a lot of the pop-ups that are coming up do provide a lot of interesting varieties as far as barbecue goes.
The pop-up scene is crazy.
It is. And there's a lot of there's always trends that follow. I mean, there was the pastrami trend from 2 years back, and then currently it's the Tex-Mex trend. Yeah. So there's a lot of those type of pop-ups. You know, there's also like Vietnamese barbecue pop-ups and, Korean collaborations, things, all sorts of different variations. I mean, Houston's such a ethnically diverse city that all these fusions that you see were just eventual, you know, like with Blood Brothers
barbecue. Yeah, I was going to say that makes sense. It just makes sense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then or if you go to places like Pit Room and basically, they include a lot of Tex-Mex into their barbecue as well. And they actually recently opened up a dedicated a Tex-Mex restaurant called Candente. So a lot of different options. But yeah, for the average person, just depends on kind of where you're at and how far you're willing to drive. If you're on the west side of Houston like Katie, highly recommend Brett's Barbecue Shop. If you're down in Sugarland, definitely need to stop by Harlem Road Texas Barbecue with Chef Ara. Yeah. You know, if you're down in south, I mean, obviously check out Ronnie Killen's place over in Pearland.
Yeah. What about Austin? Do you have any gems in Austin that you've gone to recently?
Oh, recently, well, I always still try to hit up Valentina's, of course, with their delicious tacos and their tortillas. And the queso, it's ridiculous. And then also Leroy and Lewis. Nevin Leroy, I mean, anything he touches turns to gold. He's got the Midas touch, you know.
He does, yeah.
But yeah, it just sort of depends on where you're at. I mean, if I'm up north visiting my sister, then obviously I'll hit up, you know, Brotherton's in Pflugerville or you know, wherever John Mueller pops up. I'm sad to see that Black Box closed recently, but
yeah, I know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. He's in Pflugerville right now, right? Doesn't he do
pop-ups? Yeah, he's out of a pop-up at a bar or something, as I recall. So interestingly enough, the best beef rib I've ever had was from John Mueller at a pop-up he did in Houston over at Cottonwood Bar, probably in 2014, 2015. He always does like annual like pop-ups for a veterans benefit. Uh-huh. But uh-huh. Yeah. I, to this day, it's this unicorn that I'm constantly chasing that I can't seem to find, even at his restaurant.
Interesting. And what made it so good? Do you remember what made it? Or was it the bark, or was it the...
It definitely has to be the bark and also the style of barbecue he does, because he does hot and fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So I think what a lot of people don't know is that, because most places do low and slow, but with hot and fast, you get a really, really crispy, crunchy bark. And if you like that kind of texture, like if you crispy fried chicken, I mean, that's what it kind of reminds me of. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the meat's all nice and tender on the inside. So a lot of times if I'm missing out or if I'm reminiscing about that, and I want a bit of the old John Mueller barbecue, at least in the Houston area, a lot of times I would go to Buck's Barbecue.
Oh.
So back when he was in East Downtown, and now he's relocated down in Galveston. But he also, for a time, also worked a little bit with John as well.
Yeah, I've noticed that they're friends in some way. Yeah, connected.
Yeah, they are. They are. And actually, I think John gave Jim Buchanan the recipe for his cheesy squash, which is a really great side, by the way.
What about in Fort Worth? Have you had a chance to hit some of those places though?
Oh man, Fort Worth, that's kind of like the epicenter of new barbecue now, I think. So I've been to Heim a few times. Love the bacon burnt ends, of course, and their sandwiches, the barbecue snob sandwich. Panther City barbecue, gosh, that's probably one of my favorites, if not my favorite barbecue joint in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Mm-hmm. I love their lotte, and yeah, their barbecue's just top-notch, so...
I've heard such amazing things about Panther City. Like, everyone loves it. Everyone who knows about good barbecue loves it.
Yeah, yeah. You can't go wrong with Panther City. And then, you know, I'm really eagerly waiting for, you know, Dylan and Johnny Ray to open up Goldie's.
Yeah.
I mean, I had some of their stuff at the Pines in the Park Festival in Waco a few months back, and it was just out of this world. But, I mean, you know, I've seen Dylan around over at Truth and Terry Black, so certainly know what he's capable of.
Yeah, I just posted an interview with Mike from Terry Black's about the Dallas location, and he talks about the fact that how green Dylan was. Like, he was 18 years old. It was like his brand new thing when he first
started. It's just great to see him just kind of progress up to this point. And no, I'm really excited for the Fort Worth scene in general. Can't wait to head back. There's so many new places out there, whether it's Brendan Lamb's Smiley's Barbecue or Lillian's Barbecue you want to check out, or Derek Allen's, of course. Just a lot of different places that I just need to hit up soon.
And Smokeaholics.
So. Yeah, Smokeaholics too, yeah.
Gosh.
I can't, I'm like losing track.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to, like, in my head, I'm like Smokeaholics, and then Hurtado is there, and then there's, yeah, just.
Hurtado and Zavala's, and those are great Zavala's stuff, man.
Yeah, it's like you could just, like, just throw names. And that's what a great time, and that's what makes me sad living in Los Angeles, is I want to move back to Texas because I want to have an opportunity to be able to drive 2 hours or 3 hours instead of take a 3 hour like flight with like time going to the airport. Yeah, it's just and time, and then you guys are like 2 hours difference. It's like sucks. Like you can't, I can't just drive out to a place these days. But it's so then what?
I don't know. It would still save time if you flew out to here. Then if I were to say drive out to Marfa or up to Tyler up in Amarillo to eat, but
that is true. Have you been to Convenience West?
I've done stuff like that before, just to eat lunch in Amarillo. Convenience West is amazing. So I went there. There was a it was during the agave festival. So they're mixing, agave tequila into all of their recipes, and yeah, the chicken, everything else was amazing. Actually, I sat down there. I met a guy who was born there, but he basically lives up in New York City now. And so when he said that he just really loves Texas barbecue. And I asked him, well, have you been to Hometown up in Red Hook in Brooklyn? And he said, yeah, that place is fine and dandy and all, but he basically hit the nail on the point. He said, you know, the food is great, but it's not quite the Texas experience.
Hmm.
Whereas here you are sitting, you know, talking to people out in the open in West Texas. And he says, this is the essence of Texas barbecue.
And also being like a small town. Like if you're out there like that's, and you've made the travel, you made the, which yeah, taking nothing away from Billy Durney or what he's doing, and especially for where it is. And yeah, it's top notch for that area, but going to a Texas place, there's something special. And like, and the scene, like driving on the highway, it's all visceral. It's all one thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's about the journey. It's about the destination. And it's about the experience. I mean, because good barbecue is pretty much everywhere now. I mean, gosh, I really don't envy Daniel Vaughn's job in 2 years of trying to figure out where the next top 50 places are. I think a lot of it's going to be more experiential than just food itself. And so
I wonder if they're going to – that's a good question, because I've often wondered if he's going to expand it to – 100 just sounds too much. Like it's just – but I wonder – yeah. Maybe he's going to have like little, like separate, like subgroups or something that'll to highlight places that aren't in the top 50. I don't know. It's, I don't envy him at all. There's probably 200, like, there's probably 110 choices that he has to boil down to.
Well, I think that's why he does the top 25 list in the 2 years in between, just highlight the new places. But yeah, it's going to be difficult. I don't know how he's going to do it.
So what type of camera do you use?
My daughter goes with me everywhere, so she's really interested in photography, and I think for her, I got her a Nikon 3400. And I think it all started when basically one time we met Wyatt McSpadden.
Nice.
A famous photographer, of course. And basically when I asked my daughter to take a picture of us together, and, you know, Wyatt was like, oh, look how she's, you know, holding up the camera, her stance and everything, you know, and he said, you know, she should go into photography. Mm-hmm. So that's how it started with her. So some of the pictures that I post up are from her with that camera. But for the most part, most of my pics that I take, it's just from this lousy little iPhone I have here.
Am I thinking wrong? I thought I've seen you like taking the pictures from above, doing with the. Are you using her camera or is she?
Oh, yeah. So we sometimes we're joking around. Yeah, we do this whole stand on the table thing with our cameras. And but yeah, we just switch off back and forth between the two, between the phone and the camera. So.
Yeah. Did you see a shift in like the mayhem? Like, did you notice like when things became even more crazy with like with the lines getting bigger at places, people taking pictures of everyone becoming kind of rock star status? Did you see that seismic shift, or was it something that just is what it is now?
I guess there's a bit of a shift over the last year or two. It seems to me like, you know, the popularity of barbecue just keeps growing and growing. I mean, I figure at some point it's got to kind of hit a max peak and start to regress, but I don't see that at the moment. Mm-hmm. It's funny, a lot of my friends have followed me for a while, or we would eat barbecue together, and, you know, they think I'm crazy that I'm eating it all the time, but it's all of a sudden, really in the last year, all of a sudden everyone's kind of doing it. You're like, oh, gosh, you know, they go out to a trip to California or New York, and they're already texting me saying, I'm already craving for barbecue. What?
But also too, it's nice because you can travel to California and get some really good barbecue now. Like it's not easy, but you can search it out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, you do have to search it out. You're right. But you know, I think, I think just because it's just all over the media now and on TV, on the internet, it's just just wildly popular. And so yeah, you do see all the long lines, and just depends on kind of what's being publicized at the moment. Like one of the places that I like to go to as a pop-up here in Houston is Koi Barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fusion of Vietnamese food and Texas barbecue. And Don Nguyen of Koi Barbecue, he does a really awesome job of melding it together. But he's already had some basically spotlights on him from, I guess, on TV and on the internet. And so all of a sudden, you got long lines. You have people coming in from New Orleans, getting in line to get his food, and it's crazy.
It looks amazing. It looks, because it's pho, right? And it's like he also does traditional barbecue too, right? Like, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. He does the traditional barbecue very well, but yes, he does the pho, and he throws a brisket in there. So, kind of funny story about that. I've been doing that for the last 5 or 6 years.
Of course.
Of course. So we would always joke around about pocket brisket. I obviously have no shame. So what I would sometimes do is get brisket from Corkscrew and basically wrap it up in a foil, sneak it into a pho restaurant. And so when no one's looking, basically I drop the brisket into the pho.
I love that.
And it's just it's a great experience, just because it sounds terrible, but really it works very well. I mean, especially if the brisket's cold, you know, the hot broth basically reheats the brisket naturally.
Mm-hmm.
and infuses a bit of the smokiness, you know, from the bark and whatnot into the broth itself.
Yeah. Well, it kind of reminds me of when you have ramen and they put the pork, the char siu pork or whatever it adds that certain kind of, it's a richness that it adds to the broth too. Like it kind of, cause as it breaks down, I don't know. I think it makes a lot of sense. It's funny how you've never seen until Koi, I never had seen it on a photo of pho. I'm sure you probably have photos of it, right?
Oh yeah. Everywhere.
But it does seem like you visit. So that's a pop-up. How often does he pop up?
I'd probably say about once or twice a month.
Okay.
And so just have to follow him on Instagram and see wherever he announces the pop-ups, and basically just try to get there early. So, mm-hmm.
Are you sure I should include this or should I not? Because what if people, you don't want any more people going.
Yeah, a lot of my friends kind of nag at me about, like, why are you revealing all these secrets about, you know, the secrets to the Franklin barbecue line, or hey, you just mess it up at Taos. Now they got massive long lines thanks to you. I'm like,
okay, even the, like, I don't always talk about Franklin, but what's your secret for the Franklin line? Is there a secret?
Oh, man, I don't know if I should reveal it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, no. Basically, it's just, you know, obviously there's always massive long lines at Franklin. And so, yeah, I've waited there for 5 or 6 hours to eat barbecue. And, but, you know, basically there are certain days of the week, and it's probably better now that Snows is ranked number one. And so the spotlight's a little bit off of Franklin. But a lot of times if you go there during a weekday at around 12 or 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I mean, you'll probably be able to get, you know, barbecue still. There might be some things that have sold out, but you're not going to have to endure a, you know, 2 or 3 hour wait. Mm. You might wait 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's not bad.
No, that's pretty good for Franklin. If I only have to wait 30 minutes, that's well worth it to me. Yeah. So
that's you could wait like for a burger for 30 minutes for places. So it's not, that's not too bad. You're getting something much better, but it's also, yeah, that's, I've always often found that Franklin does have that afternoon time during the week. That's like a weird no man's land. That is perfect for that.
There is. But, you know, the thing about Austin is because there's so many good places out there now. I mean, yeah, and this is why, you know, for me, whenever I plan to eat barbecue, I always need to have a plan B, plan C, plan D.
Even. True, true.
As you go, and if the line's 2 hours long or if they're sold out or whatnot, you know, obviously, yeah, you'll be a little disappointed. But if you got a backup plan, at least you've got something in place. And there's plenty of backup plans in Austin if Frank.
And also, just keep a list of the hours, or write down the hours, or at least have them on your phone, like text yourself or have it in notes, because the hours of different places. So that way, you do, for your backup plan, you make sure that they are open that day and what the hours are.
And it does help to be a little savvy on social media, because, you know, a lot of the places will announce if they've sold out or if they're not open that day for some catering event or whatnot.
Exactly. Yeah, because places do close for that. Yeah.
Yep, things happen.
Yeah, Kinder's big. That's awesome. What are you going to eat this weekend?
You know, so lately some of my friends have been bugging me about eating something besides just barbecue. So we've been doing a lot of these barbecue crawls lately. So we'll, you know, go to 3 or 4 different places on a Saturday. But probably this weekend, barbecue related, there's definitely two places we want to check out. Again, one is called Los Muertos Barbecue. It's a food truck out in Katy. And the guys are from South Texas, but does a lot of awesome Tex-Mex barbecue. He actually does a puffy taco.
Oh, wow.
So that's kind of a unique thing if you haven't had that. It's basically, it's a taco that you will only find in San Antonio, but he really does a good job of it. It's puffed up. It's crispy on the outside, but very soft on the inside.
Wow.
And he stuffs it with a barbacoa. He also does these dishes called lonches, which is just, means lunch in Spanish, but basically takes the little small bolillos and deep fries it and then stuffs it with avocado, white queso, and barbacoa or brisket. Oh, it's fantastic. It's a little hidden secret, but so we'll do that and probably hit up Brett's barbecue shop. He's got some phenomenal beef ribs. I mean, Brett basically used to work at Louis Miller Barbecue, and so I'm sure some of the knowledge is from that, but
not to mix him up with Brett's backyard barbecue in Rockdale.
Of course.
Yeah. No, but I'm sure people mix them up.
Yeah, all the time. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Brett's barbecue, backyard barbecue in Rockdale. I mean, that's fantastic. I just came back last weekend from the his 1 year anniversary ball.
I know. I missed out. Oh. I saw those photos. Ugh.
Oh man, that's amazing. Yeah. And I met Danny from Heritage Barbecue. Just great. He did the pastrami salmon. That was out of this world. So.
Yeah, he's a cool guy too. Like funky. Just him and his wife. Him and his wife. They're great people. And you saw. Yeah. I think you met Abe too, right?
I met Abe from iCrush Barbecue. Yeah. We finally met in person. We were trying to meet up one time before, but it didn't work out. But yeah, he's a great guy. So I can't wait to head back to SoCal and next time definitely try to meet up with you and everyone else and try to hit some barbecue. Pop up.
Yeah, so. We'll take you around. There's some fun places, and then you have to go to Howlin' Rays, of course.
Of course, yeah. And that, you know, I have friends and family out in SoCal, and I've told them to check out, you know, your YouTube broadcast, and as well as Abe's podcast as well. But they don't. And, you know, I mean, obviously every time they're here, they'll, you know, hit up Tejas or Corkscrew or whatever. And then they always lament, well, there's no good barbecue in SoCal. I said, yeah, there is, but you just have to sort of find it, you know.
And yeah, and like there's Moose Craft Barbecue.
Yes.
There's Heritage if you want to go to Orange County. There's a ton. There's a ton. There's Bart's. There's a lot of people doing fun stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like, so it's finally, it's finally there. I've been looking for it for, I don't know, probably 30 years. And so it's finally progressing, but it's also, there's not a whole lot of places to go to that you can go to every day, or I'm not like 10 minutes from Tejas and 10 minutes from Corkscrew. That's, that makes me mad. In the best way. I'm so happy for you. That's such a cool thing. So then for the people that think that like someone like Daniel Vaughn eats too much, like too many fatty foods with cholesterol, and like, and you eat, what do you say to those people that, that come, cause you're a doctor, what do you say to them?
Well, I don't know. It really depends. You know, everybody's different, of course, and it depends on what your medical history is. True. To begin with. You know, I mean, obviously if you had multiple heart attacks, then yeah, maybe, I don't know, barbecue might be the best thing for you to eat, but, you know, on the other hand, you know, I've been eating basically a lot, you know, I don't really eat much carbs. Well, in the past, actually, I've never really ate any carbs. Huh. And at some point, I started realizing, oh, gosh, I'm losing a lot of weight. And I remember one time I went on a big barbecue crawl and eating at six different places, and I thought, I'm going to gain a lot of weight that day. And after I finished, and then when I got home, I weighed myself, and I said, oh, how the heck did I lose 2 pounds? And so, you know, this is back in, what, 2014, 2015, and so I thought, oh, hey, this is kind of an interesting diet, I guess, mm-hmm. if I eat nothing but meat. And, of course, I tell everyone about my barbecue diet, and they just look at me like I'm insane. But of course, now you have what's called the keto diet, which is essentially the same thing. Mm-hmm. And so now that's all a big rage.
Yeah, and there's been, like, those there's not like, there's keto, but there was something else, I think, the
Atkins diet.
The Atkins, yeah. There's been other diets that have been, like, less carbs, like, more, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a carnivore diet, too.
Yeah, so, paleo. Yeah. Right?
Yep.
That's funny. Hey, so
eating all this barbecue, I've lost probably about 40 pounds. And my cholesterol's improved, and it's like, you know, people look at me and they say, but that's not fair.
Oh, that's, yeah, that's not fair. But it is fair, and it shows. That sparked an idea. There could be a barbecue diet book out there, like the barbecue diet, because, and that could be like the next big trend would be the bar. But you can't eat all the sides. I think some of the sides.
No, that's the thing. Yeah, you can't eat the sides. I mean, that's hard to resist. You go to Truth, and how can you not order cake when you eat it?
Oh, I know that. Yeah, and that's, and how nice, have you been, obviously you have, to the new Truth location. Can you tell people a little bit about that?
Yeah, the new Truth location, a really beautiful build out. You know, they do sell out daily, so you definitely want to try to get there before 1 or 2 o'clock. If you just want to go there just for the cake only, they do have a separate line, so you don't have to worry about standing in the meat line just to order a cake. But really the meats are kind of the star of the show there, of course.
And on the weekends, what time would you recommend getting there on the weekend?
Oh, it's not too bad. I think you can probably get there around 10:30, and you should be fine. You'll probably be the first 10 or so in line. But,
and they're pretty efficient, right?
They are pretty efficient for the most part, so you won't be waiting too long. And but it's just, if you do want to eat certain meats and whatnot, then you don't want to dilly-dally for too long, especially with the beef rib, which is their Saturday specials. Now, they are doing a lot of other new specials now. They just recently introduced a brisket boudin, and that's a pretty top-notch little link there. Gosh. And then they gave me a little experimental sausage the other day. Basically, it was infused with ghost peppers, and so it packed me a kick.
Oh, yeah. Wow, I think so. And that's funny, too, is like we've been talking about all these things, and then it's like, oh, and Truth. Like, it's like there's like so much good barbecue, and there's like Regals. There's just like,
The Regals, the pastrami. I love the pastrami at Tejas, but I think Regals got them beat on that one. So
yeah, he's kind of the king of that.
He is. Yeah, so many good places. And ironically, so because I've gone to all these places, it's sort of like, well, where else can I go other than trying to finish up the top 25 list that came out, I guess, last year.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm trying to explore more some of the older barbecue joints, too. So I'm starting to try to look back at the 2008, 2003, the 1997 top 50 list and trying to see what used to be considered good. And it's just interesting to see, really. I mean, yeah. I'm still of the belief that if you go to a restaurant, they're there to serve food. that they feel, they feel that it's good, right? Yeah. And so I'm not there to nitpick and say, oh, okay, this sucks because it's not as good as Franklin. I mean, that's unfair, you know? And you just want to basically kind of get a feel for what makes it good, what's not, and just basically just enjoy yourself, really.
Yeah. No, that same mindset I have. And I think someone like JC, too, helps people look at some of the old spots. I think JC Reed tends to not just focus on the new things, but he also kind of embraces all those old spots, especially in Houston.
Oh, absolutely. And it's actually pretty neat to go to some of the old spots. So I recently went out to Hallettsville, which is a little small town between San Antonio and Houston, but it's actually quite a hot spot for old style Texas barbecue. Huh. That really not a lot of people know about. I mean, they did get the spotlight back in 97 and 03, but you know, if you're looking for a good pork steak, for instance, from Snow's, I mean, that's all that they do out down there in Hallettsville is pork steak in that style in the same vein.
Wow, that's really cool. That's a cool tip.
Yeah, absolutely. And if surprisingly, they also sell out too out there. So, because basically, it's just all the locals there that get the barbecue, but they basically go out there pretty faithfully as far as getting the meats that they need.
Wow, that's cool. So if people are going to Houston and they want to, they should follow you on social media, right? Follow you on Instagram. If they want to.
Probably Instagram would be best, yeah. And, you know, and if you have any questions, y'all can always just shoot me a message or whatnot, so.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, you've been always forthcoming, and I'm glad you took the time, because I don't want to just focus on restaurateurs. I want to focus on people that are passionate about barbecue and share, like experiences. And I think that's like someone like you, people can look at and go, okay, well that's kind of how he does it. And this is kind of what I want to do, because a lot of people just want to eat great barbecue. They don't want to open a restaurant.
Right. And not only that, I mean, it also depends on what you like. I mean, like, you know, my brother and sister, their taste in barbecue is vastly different than mine. So if someone asks, well, what's a good place to eat? My answer is usually, well, what do you like to eat? Mm-hmm. You know, and based on how they answer that, I can get a better feel for saying, oh, you should go here to get this dish versus the whole blanket of go to Franklin, because not everyone's going to like Franklin necessarily.
Yeah. Which not everyone's going to want, like, yeah, that's true. That's awesome. So, yeah, so people can reach out, DM you on Instagram, and hopefully you'll be so busy that you'll have to eventually start a company that just deals with people, like little travel trips. But thank you so much, Tom, for taking the time. And I hope you have a great week. Enjoy your weekend. And I definitely want to try that. Is it Los Muertos?
Yeah, it's Los Muertos. Yeah, they're, like I said, they're out in Katy. It's in a little food truck. Usually they have weird hours. Basically, in the mornings, they do their breakfast tacos. Okay. And around 11 o'clock, they shift to their lunch menu. So.
Yeah. Wow, awesome.
So if you get there at 10:50, you can get the best of both worlds. So
nice, cool. Well, have a great rest of your week.